Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, April the 4th. And we'll wonder this hour if you sympathize with the plight of the trucker. Independent truckers in particular, who are paying an arm and a leg these days to fill up their rigs and truck goods to your grocery store and other places. The cost of diesel fuel has skyrocketed, with many truckers now spending about $1,000 to fill up a tank of gas, up from about $600 or $700 a year ago. And we thought we had it bad. High gas prices are taking a chunk out of all of our pocketbooks, but truckers say the more they pay for gas, the more all of us pay for the stuff we buy. And many of them are saying they can't survive financially the way things are now. So in loosely organized and scattered protest around the country this week on Tuesday, hundreds of truckers parked their rigs on turnpikes or slowed down on highways or drove around in convoys around major cities to bring attention to their plight and to call for action from the government to do something to lower the high cost of diesel fuel. We will wonder this hour if you agree with the independent trucker, if you agree or disagree with some of the ideas they have to make diesel fuel more affordable. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We know that there are some truck drivers listening to us right now. We hear from you from time to time. We wonder if you participated in the protest this week. We wonder how the high cost of fuel is affecting you and what you think would help. We will talk this hour with the Government Affairs Director with the Owner-Operator Independent Drivers Association, Rod Knofziger. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks a lot for being with us.
No, it's a pleasure.
Now, you did not officially organized this protest, correct?
Correct. We are a non-for-profit trade organization that represents small businesses, so we are prohibited by antitrust laws from endorsing or supporting any sort of strike or shutdown.
Yeah, but you knew that this was going on.
Absolutely, and we certainly sympathize. Many of the folks that have chosen to shut down in protest or slow down in protest are members of ours.
Yeah. How widespread was this?
Well, you get varying accounts. We've certainly heard from a lot of folks at our headquarters out in Kansas City, and certainly there has been a tremendous amount of media coverage. It has not been, as some had thought, that it may be a kind of a one major coordinated organized shutdown effort across the country. That didn't come to fruition, but certainly there have been a tremendous amount of different little shutdowns, and I say little referring to groups of 100 or more trucks, as you had stated, slowing down on turnpikes or actually gathering and shutting down, doing various different things to express their frustrations. Some of the major ones that got a lot of media attention were up in New Jersey and out in Indiana and certainly down in Georgia as well.
Yeah. Well, what is the frustration?
Well, just simply the price of fuel. Right now, where we sit just this morning, the national average retail price for diesel fuel sits at a little bit over $4 a gallon. In fact, up in Wisconsin, I think it's $4.05 or $4.06 a gallon right now. And that's, to put that into perspective, obviously $4 is significant for any price of fuel, $4 a gallon. But to put that in perspective, last year at this time, I think the national average was just over $2.80. So it had not even broken the $3 mark at that time. That's a significant price jump. And just our general rule of thumb economics for the trucking industry is that for every 5 cents that a gallon of diesel goes up, that's an additional $1,000 or more in operating costs, annual operating costs for a small business trucker.
I was surprised when I saw a news story on this protest that it costs $1,000 or more for a trucker to just fill up the tank once.
Well, as it sits right now, it's roughly speaking, it's going to be over $1,200. Most of the big rig long haul trucks are going to have 300-gallon tanks. So do the math, and it adds up awfully quickly.
Yeah, and the owner-operator or the independent trucker, this comes out of his or her pocket?
Absolutely. They're small business folks, so this is coming directly from them. And for them, certainly the cost of fuel is far and away the greatest operating expense that they must deal with. For larger trucking companies, it's usually or traditionally has been the second largest, labor being the first largest operating cost. But I would say that with the price of fuel, even the cost for fuel is rivaling labor costs as top expense for the big boys in the industry as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of us are paying more for gas, and nobody likes it. Why should we care that owner operators are paying more for diesel fuel? We're paying more for gas too.
Sure. Well, put things into perspective. Once again, the rise in diesel has been significant, and traditionally, the cost of diesel was significantly lower, significantly lower than the price of gas. Many of the freight rates which small business folks operate on or get for moving freight are based on much lower diesel prices and much lower operating costs. But to put things in perspective, I guess with the trucking industry as a whole in the United States, the trucking industry is comprised of roughly 90% or more small businesses, that is, operations that have six or fewer trucks in their fleets. For owner-operators, who are, generally speaking, someone who not only owns the truck but operates it as well and are true blue sort of mom-and-pop trucking operations, they make up over half of the registered motor carriers in the country. So those folks move a significant amount of freight and really are truly the backbone of the American economy. I think the trucking industry accounts for over 70% of all freight that is hauled in the country. So if you start thinking about things in those terms, it becomes significant as the costs really rise for those that make up the trucking industry and see that not only is it going to affect them and cause them some significant struggles, it ultimately is going to rain down to the consumer.
We're talking with Rod Nofziger. He is Government Affairs Director with the Owner-Operator Independent Drivers Association, talking with us about the protests this week involving truckers trying to bring attention to the high cost of diesel fuel. We'll talk after the weather about what the truckers want. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Very happy to have you with us on this Friday, April the 4th. Coming up later today, tonight in fact, at 7 o'clock, 40 years ago today, Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. At 7 o'clock, we will present a special program, King's Last March, which is a new documentary that traces the difficult and surprising last year of the life of Martin Luther King Jr. That's tonight at 7 o'clock. We're talking about the trucker protests that occurred this week. Independent truckers participating in a loosely organized protest of high fuel prices. A number of actions all over the country, including outside Chicago. Three truck drivers were ticketed for impeding traffic on Interstate 55. They were driving three abreast at a slow speed. The protest to draw attention to the high cost of diesel fuel that many truckers say is just about putting them out of business, and they want the government to do something about it. Rod Nofziger, what do the truckers want the government to do about this?
Well, generally speaking, as an organization, we kind of view this on a couple different fronts. One is, of course, the more sort of global debate of the cost of fuel and what can be done to bring down the retail price of diesel fuel. But then looking more closely at something that we're a bit more experts on, and that is the economics of the trucking industry. In trucking, particularly with long-haul trucking, you have the compensation scheme that has been set for many years is roughly based on a per mile rate basis or per mile freight rate. And that rate has really not changed much over the last, I would say, 20 years. It has gone up maybe a little bit. But so that's a consistent factor as far as how truckers are paid. But the one variable that helps them with the price of fuel, and again, this the price of fuel being a significant part of their operating costs, is a diesel fuel surcharge that kicks in for the shipping customer to pay when diesel reaches a certain price and then goes up gradually. As of a few years ago, not everybody, not all shippers were paying diesel fuel surcharges, but certainly today with diesel having consistently risen over the last few years, pretty much everyone across the board who wants to ship freight somewhere is going to pay surcharges. The biggest problem for the little guys in the trucking industry, the small business players, is that there are often some sort of middleman between them and the shipping customer. And that middleman serves a role of kind of putting the two parties together, but may also serve, unfortunately, sometimes to use that role as a means of exploiting folks on both ends, particularly with fuel surcharges. So often they will demand that a shipper pay a certain fuel surcharge, but it doesn't always get passed through to the trucker who is actually paying for the fuel to ship that freight.
Yeah. I did read, though, in some of these accounts of the protest, not only that they some truckers wanted contractors to pay more for covering the fuel costs, but some were saying that there should be a cap put on, that the government should put a cap on the fuel price. Does your organization have a position on that?
We really don't have a position on actually capping or regulating fuel prices. I know that certainly has been proposed. Has been discussed quite a bit more these days with the price of both diesel and gas. The idea behind it being essentially regulating it somewhat like utilities regulate their rates. As an organization, we have not taken a position on that. We more so look at trying to do some things that can both affect the price of fuel here in the United States as well as globally, in the short term and in the long term. One of the things that we've looked at, in the short term at least, has been to call upon the President, President Bush, to actually discontinue the practice of diverting, I think, roughly 70,000 barrels of oil a day into the Strategic Petroleum mm-hmm. Reserve, something that we see, while we kind of understand the intent behind the SPR, as it's referred to, as we understand it right now, that reserve has over 2 months' amount of diesel, or I'm sorry, of oil in it, mm-hmm. To provide for domestic demand. So we think it's kind of filled up pretty well right now, and have concerns about the U.S. government kind of further exacerbating the domestic oil market, and ultimately the price of fuel at the pump by continuing to be such a major customer.
We have, there are many other ideas that truckers were proposing when they were talking to the media this week, but we have other callers, so let me go to Dave in Watertown. Hi, Dave, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy.
Morning.
Happy Friday.
You too.
I would just like to point out the fact that the industry, they create a artificial supply problem when we have all of these different blends. If you look at even Wisconsin, Milwaukee has you know, three different blends. Madison has three other blends that are different than the ones in Milwaukee. And I think if we had one nationwide blend, just one type of fuel for the whole country, that would automatically make the supply much greater, and in return, it would also lower the prices per gallon. And I was just wondering if I could get your guest comment on that.
Rod?
Yes, absolutely agree. Certainly, it's more so true as far as gasoline goes. There are multiple different blends that are required by different states and different regions. Boutique blends, as they're generally referred to in Washington, those certainly serve, as we understand it, serve to increase the production costs for diesel and gasoline products. In particular, for diesel, just last year, there was a mandate placed upon on-highway diesel that required that it all all the diesel being burned by on-highway vehicles be ultra-low sulfur diesel. While we see the benefits for that for the environment, it must be also recognized that that has significantly increased the cost of production for diesel, and certainly is one of the major contributing factors in the United States for the disparity between the cost of diesel at the pump and the cost of gas.
Thanks, Dave, for the call. Now we go to Jim in Waukegan, Illinois. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Have a comment and a question. First, the question is for the guest that you have. Why is it that the price of diesel fuel has gotten so much higher over the regular gas prices when it's much less refined in the refining process? Is that because of what the previous caller talked about, too many blends?
Well, that certainly is part of it, and as I just mentioned, the mandate that went into place fairly recently for diesel to be produced as a ultra-low sulfur diesel, that, as we understand it from the refiners, has actually made the refinement process more labor-intensive and more expensive than for regular gasoline. So that certainly is a part of it. But another significant contributing factor is just the overall global demand for diesel. Certainly, with the industrialization of China and India, there has been significantly increased demand across the globe. And China in particular, as we understand it, is going through some fuel shortages right now, just both for diesel as well as gasoline. So it makes diesel a premium product on the global marketplace and certainly increases the cost here at home.
Yeah, Jim?
I do sympathize with the truckers, especially these independent owner-operators are really getting killed. And also, when you combine that with the fact that now our current traitorous Bush administration is allowing in truckers from Mexico that are going to further harm the American trucking industry, I think our government actually may be in collusion in trying to bring down the backbone of our economy. Everything that goes into stores is handled by a truck at some point. So, I mean, what's your feeling on allowing Mexican truckers into the United States?
Well, we have been at the forefront of the opposition for those efforts by the current administration. We have done things both on Capitol Hill as well as in the federal courtroom to try and stop the so-called pilot program that the administration put in place roughly 6 months back, and that is a program to allow Mexico-domiciled trucking companies and truck drivers to operate throughout the United States, whereas they're currently limited to a commercial zone along the southern border. Yeah. And we certainly have been in opposition to that effort, primarily because of safety concerns as well as security concerns, but also because of operating costs. In the United States, every year there are more and more safety and security regulations that are placed upon trucking companies and truck drivers.
I need to jump in because it's time for our news break. News from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio coming up, and then we'll continue talking about trucking and the high cost of diesel fuel after the news. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Friday, April the 4th. We're talking about the protests that occurred earlier this week from independent truckers, owner-operators who participated in this loosely organized protest of high fuel prices. Some truckers encouraged others to protest the high cost of diesel fuel by parking their rigs, by slowing down on highways. There were actions in Tampa. About 50 truckers sat idle near the port of Tampa. In New Jersey, 200 truckers protested at a New Jersey Turnpike service area. In Atlanta, a convoy driving around the metropolitan area at slow speeds, and other actions around the country to bring attention to the high cost of diesel fuel that many independent truckers say is putting them out of business. They want some help. Some say the president should dip into the nation's oil reserves. Others are saying they want contractors to pay more to cover the fuel. Some say, how about putting a cap on fuel prices? Others indicated that they would like to allow more exploration of oil-rich areas of the U.S. Others said set a national speed limit of 65 miles per hour. We're talking about what the truckers want and the plight of the independent trucker, and wonder if you sympathize with the owner-operators over this issue. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Rod Nofziger. He is Government Affairs Director with the Owner-Operator Independent Drivers Association. And our next caller is Jim in Lawrence. Hi, Jim. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I appreciate this conversation we're having this morning. I'm an independent owner-operator. Run under my own authority. I'm not leased on, which means every bit of operational cost comes out of my pocket. Now, my wife and I, we started our own business in 1997, and just for a reference on the fuel cost, it cost us around $11,000 to fuel our truck for the year.
Wow.
In 1997. In 2004, we spent $84,000 for fuel.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's a huge, huge increase.
Now, on top of that, in Wisconsin, we've had a 30% increase in registration fees. Since 9/11, our insurance cost has gone up about 300-400% from what it was before. You're looking here, a guy's got to make over $100,000 a year out here before he sees a penny. Now, we've got houses to pay for. I've got three kids. The problem is the rates that we get just have not kept up with the cost of fuel, and I think that's something that the industry really needs to be working on. I'm not sure exactly how we can go about that. I mean, you know, we don't set our price. It's kind of, you're stuck taking what's offered. The other problem we run into is a lot of the bigger companies, they go out there and they take these inexpensive loads, they accept the cheap rates, and they're forcing a lot of us out of business.
Yeah. Wow. So did you participate, Jim, in these protests this week?
Actually, I didn't. And my reasoning for that is these trucker strikes, this is something that, you know, every couple of years you hear about this kind of thing going to happen. And my personal belief is unless we can shut down every single truck in the country, it isn't going to do a darn bit of good. And you're never going to get the support of the big companies like Schneider, J.B. Hunt, and those. You're not going to get the unionized companies to support it. And, you know, it's wonderful that some of the guys are doing this, but I just don't see where, unless you can get 100% support across the board from all truckers, it's just not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. Well, what comments do you have for Jim, Rod?
Well, certainly are sympathetic with where you're at, Jim. I'm not sure if you're a member of our organization, but the story you tell is very similar to a good portion of our membership. And you're absolutely right that in addition to the significant increased costs of diesel, many other operating costs have risen dramatically over the past few years for small business operators. And I would say that Jim is, again, I want to make the point that Jim is much like a good portion of the trucking industry in the United States. Small business folks that are operating that either have one truck or maybe they have three trucks and they are actually behind the wheel of one of them, they make up the vast majority of the trucking industry, not the larger trucking companies that many people often assume are the majority of the trucking industry. In fact, companies like Jim just mentioned, like Schneider and others, not only have they certainly have some of their own employee-driven trucks that they own, but they employ a tremendous amount of owner-operators themselves.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, Jim?
No, I just, like I said, I just wanted to bring some of this to light. I appreciate the conversation, though.
Yeah, I appreciate your participation.
Well, and good luck.
yeah, thanks a lot. Lisa in Walworth is with us next. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for taking my call. Another light that I wanted to put in on this conversation is the fact that your farmers run completely on diesel, too. And so we rely on the independent truckers to bring our feed, our seed, everything you know, to our local areas so that we can plant it. So what this trickle-down effect is going to do is squeeze the middle class even more, because now, you know, the farmers are putting in, you know, huge amounts of money into just fuel for their tractors, to spread manure, to do, you know, now we're going to be planting soon once everything dries up. You know, this is going to affect us come next fall with harvest prices and stuff. So, so food prices are going to drastically increase with this.
So, what do you think, Lisa? Should the government dip into the oil reserves, or what do you think the answer is?
Well, I think we need to be doing something, because right now our economy is on a really tedious point at this point, and it's not going to take much to flip it into a pretty negative zone at this point.
Yeah,
and
Rod?
We're going to have, you know, anything from foreclosures of small farmers to anything else happening. You know, and it's going to be an avalanche when it does.
Sounds scary, Rod.
Yeah, I would agree, and certainly we also have a lot of members who are part-time truckers and full-time farmers. Mm-hmm. And hearing from them, just as Lisa laid out, they're getting hit both ways, both for the actual cost of movement of goods, but certainly for the cost of production as well. The other thing that on a domestic basis that also must be considered about the price of diesel is that, at least in its former less refined sort of product state, diesel is very similar, if not the same, in many cases as home heating oil. And certainly we're coming off of, well, for most places, a relatively mild winter, but that also plays a role in pushing up the cost of the product overall. And we don't have an exact solution to forcing prices down in the United States, but think that the government should be doing something more, playing some more larger role to at least help with the market pressures to make sure that farmers and folks living in cold areas and truckers are able to weather the cost of fuel.
Well, how about this from Fred in Vilas County, who in an email says it's ironic that the Independent Truckers Association feels that they are bound by an antitrust act, but the fuel companies feel they can ignore antitrust legislation and form monopolies. What we need is new and stronger enforced antitrust acts.
That is something that is kind of ironic. I mean, if you go back to follow the history back to when antitrust laws were first put together, and they were certainly targeted at that time at oil companies or a oil company, and now we come to where we're at right now, where the smallest folks who I don't think were intended targets of that legislation are come somewhat hamstrung from being able to do some of the things they need to do to be able to work together, cooperate together, and make some changes.
Our guest is Rod Nofziger, Government Affairs Director with the Owner-Operator Independent Truckers Association, which was aware of the loosely organized random protests performed by independent truckers across the country this week, but did not call for this or organize this effort due to antitrust legislation. We're talking about what the truckers are upset about. It's the high cost of diesel fuel and what can be done about it. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 13 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Friday, April the 4th. Coming up, more than half of the public school referendums on the ballot across the state this week called for increased funding, but they failed. More than half of those failed. We're wondering what those school districts are going to do, and talk about the issue of school funding coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about the price of diesel fuel and how a lot of independent truckers say it's putting them out of business. And welcoming your thoughts and questions for our guest, Rod Nofziger, Government Affairs Director with the Owner-Operator Independent Drivers Association. And new daddy, I understand. Rod, you have a 9-day-old in your household.
Exactly. Lucy May Nofziger was born not too long ago.
Yeah, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Jim in River Falls is with us next. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Thanks for having the program. I appreciate the problems that the independent truckers are going through, and it's usually, as in most situations, the little guys that are being hurt the most. Obviously, the big oil company executives aren't necessarily feeling the pinch of this. They're making record profits, but, you know, I think one of the things government hasn't looked at a systemic answer to this problem overall, and you've had programs about peak oil. Well, fuel prices are going to keep going up because of world demand and reduction in production capacity. And I think what government should be doing, you know, hopefully they can help out, you know, small business owners, truckers, things like that. But we need to look at more efficient use of fuel. And if you look at the cost of shipping goods by train versus truck, you know, it's just far more efficient to ship a certain amount of goods over a, and I think it's about a dollar or about a gallon of fuel to ship a ton of goods by train, which is far more efficient than by truck. So, and I've got a friend who's a trucker, and he said, you know, he'd be hauling apples out to Washington, to the state of Washington from Wisconsin, and he'd meet trucks coming from Washington bringing apples from there. So I think we need to look at you know, not moving goods as far, doing local production of things. I know we are in the world economy now, too, but air movement of goods through the air is very inefficient, too. So, you know, I think the government needs to look at the long term, and your guest mentioned that...
Let me get our guest to address those two issues you just brought up. Rail is cheaper to ship by rail than truck, Rod?
Well, in some circumstances, it certainly is, and Jim's right in that as far as looking at fuel, how diesel fuel is used by railroads is different than it is by trucks. One thing that's important to consider is that I think I had mentioned before, right now 70% of all freight tonnage that is moved in the United States is moved exclusively by truck, and certainly the other 30% that's moved by rail, aviation or maritime hits a truck at one point or another. So trucks are going to be a big part of no matter what, any sort of long-term plans that are put in place. And I think I would certainly agree with Jim that we need some sort of a greater sort of vision for the overall system of moving freight intermodally, taking it across various modes, both for a global marketplace as well as just making sure that our domestic towns across the nation are being fully serviced. So the one thing I would point out about rail is that as things stand right now, rail freight companies are moving freight, but they're doing it at or over capacity right now. And there's a big debate in Washington, D.C., particularly with captive shippers or folks like farmers and coal producers and such that haul predominantly with rail. They are certainly not pleased with the rail companies and feel that significant more investment needs to be made in rail infrastructure. But railroads can't take on any more business as things stand right now.
I know you guys are hauling what companies or businesses want you to be hauling, but that doesn't seem to make sense what Jim just said, that Wisconsin apples are being trucked to Washington while Washington apples are being trucked to Wisconsin, does it?
And it certainly doesn't. I think that's some part of the private marketplace, though, that different producers that are competitors probably are not working together to ensure how things happen. And things are much more global. There is even apples and various other produce are coming in from other parts of the world as well. So that's probably part of the reason why that is occurring.
Ryan in White Bear, Minnesota. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I just had a comment about the short-term solution to high prices, and that would be to lobby the federal government to suspend the exorbitant federal tax on diesel. And frankly, states where I think a case could be made that, in fact, the tax they collect on diesel and other fuels doesn't, in fact, even go back into making roads better. So why hasn't there been an effort to have the federal government suspend that? It would instantly lower the price. That's all I got.
What about that? Suspend the tax on diesel fuel.
Well, first of all, Ryan's absolutely right that there is a significant amount of tax for diesel. In fact, it's more so the federal fuel tax for diesel is higher than gasoline. Gasoline per gallon is 18.3 cents, whereas diesel per gallon is 24.4 cents. And that sort of ratio is pretty consistent with state fuel taxes as well. One of the reasons, at least on a federal level, why there has not been much more discussion of that is that that fuel taxes go into the Federal Highway Trust Fund, and that Highway Trust Fund is where it kind of collects various different fuel taxes and other user fees, and then the money is kind of dispersed out of there back to the states for various state maintenance, highway maintenance, and highway construction programs, as well as numerous other things that unfortunately don't have to do with highways. But that Highway Trust Fund right now is looking like it will exhaust itself sometime next year. So there's concerns already about that funding mechanism going away, and I think, in fact, there has been some proposals as of late to increase federal fuel taxes to try and keep that trust fund up and running.
Yeah. So is there anything specifically, we've talked about this surcharge, we've talked some about the tapping into the oil reserves, other things that your group or truckers think might help. Are there specific actions that Congress can take that would help the owner-operators?
I think specifically on the trucking industry, there are mechanisms that are in place right now that could be made much more efficient to ensure that the person that's paying the fuel bill actually is getting the surcharges that are currently being charged the shipping customer. We think it's no less than fraud to have some sort of middleman, a freight broker or intermediary or even larger motor carrier that works with small business folks, pocketing part of a surcharge that a shipper is paying to go towards higher fuel costs. So Congress could have a role there to ensure that there's 100% pass-through of whatever surcharge is collected going to the person who's actually paying for the fuel.
Mm.
On a global basis, I think it's going to have to be a multifaceted solution, and certainly I don't think that there's anything that Congress can do short of significant, extremely expensive efforts to rein in the cost of fuel. I think it's going to have to be a much more longer-term effort that is focused on using various different programs, various different ideas to increase the domestic supply and reduce the overall costs.
Yeah. One trucker who was interviewed during the protest wanted to see a national speed limit of 65 miles per hour. Is that a position of your group?
No, it is not. We do not support that. One reason being that it's going to be just very difficult. States right now, if you go back to when there was a big push for a national 55 mile an hour speed limit, it's really a state's prerogative to mm-hmm. to set speed limits in their states, and we think that is appropriate considering things in the middle of Montana are quite different than how things are in say urban New York.
Right.
But many of the larger trucking companies may be supporting that. Those are companies that already, because of liability purposes, because of various different reasons, already have their trucks limited, mechanically limited to certain speeds.
Dan in Wales is with us now. Hi, Dan.
Good morning. I just have a few comments. I work for a union, so it doesn't really affect me, but I support the cause of the independent truck drivers. I think one of the biggest things that affects the independent truck drivers is the cutthroat way the industry runs. There's people out there that will work for practically free just in order to put a little food on their table, and you can't blame them. But, you know, that whole cycle is defeating for what they want to achieve. And the ability to have these guys and gals organize collectively like they do in France, it just won't happen. And lastly, the oil companies, they're not going to cut anybody any bricks. Not the guys that drive the cars, not the guys that drive the trucks. It's unfortunate, but I don't see it that there's going to be any foreseeable answers here in the near future.
Yeah, kind of pessimistic, Rod. Are you?
Well, I try to be on the side of optimism, but it certainly has not been the easiest thing to do as of late. And appreciate Dan's sentiments. I think that he's absolutely right that it is a cutthroat business. Going back 20-some years, when the trucking industry in the United States was, so-called deregulated, that is, at least economically deregulated, it has created a marketplace in some ways for better, in some ways for worse, but certainly a place where it is a cutthroat business. As we had mentioned, or I had mentioned just a little bit ago, about making sure there's 100% fuel, 100% pass-through for any sort of fuel surcharges that are collected. One of the things that
we only have 30 seconds. I'm sorry.
Sure, just trying to provide more information and more accessible transparency amongst trucking transactions. We think would go a long way to help small business truckers.
Well, we want to thank you very much for your time. It's been a busy hour with callers. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Rod Nofziger is Government Affairs Director with the Owner-Operator Independent Drivers Association. Thanks to Karen Prager for producing the hour. This is the Ideas Network.